Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
FM Talk.
Well, the White House is going to brief us here shortly on the government that has been shut down. How has your life been affected, Ryan Wiggins?
So far, I am destitute. So far.
That was leading up to the shutdown, though.
Yeah, it didn't directly correspond to the shutdown.
But it's kind of nice to associate it, though. Destitute.
It's always nice when you have problems to be able to blame something. And that's what I'm doing.
I was on the phone with my husband when I was ordering coffee this morning. And I ordered my traditional latte. And the lady at Scooters goes, "You want an extra shot today?" And I was like, "No, not today." And then I said to my husband, I go, "Ryan's back. I don't need an extra shot."
Thank you.
I think you owe me like $1.50 or whatever an extra shot of espresso is for each day you take off on vacation.
Or vice versa, you owe me for saving you the extra shot.
Destitute. Not with that wit. The shutdown has commenced. I feel very, I don't know, maybe it's just the mood I'm in, but I feel like the Democrats are failing miserably at this shutdown. In the past, it always seems like a government shutdown. When Congress can't come together, you have the Democrats. They're always wanting more. The Democrats always want to give more to the American people. They always want the government to do more for the American people. They never pay for it. And that is essentially how we get to where we are right now with the makeup of Congress the way it is right now. We have people who have been elected to stop the overspending, to get back to a sense of fiscal responsibility. And I really don't know. It's probably Donald Trump, but it just seems like the Republicans are like, it would be absurd to agree with what the Democrats are wanting us to do. There's no way in hell that we're going to do what the Democrats are asking us to do. Why would we do that? And it's just a straight to the point response to the Democrats usually going, but what about the people who won't have any health care? And then the Republicans are like, oh, but what about those people? It's an election year coming up.
Yeah, no, that pretty much summarizes it.
It's a new voice.
I love it.
I like it.
The people.
You're right. I don't see a particular person being the spokesperson for the GOP on any of this. I mean, John Thune's out there. Mike Johnson's out there. If anybody, I'd say maybe J.D. Vance has been the most vocal about it. He's kind of on behalf of the White House. But it seems like a pretty united front that they're like, we're not doing any of this. We control this. We need a few of you to come over to our side for one vote.
And in the Senate, they were able to get a few. John Fetterman did support it. I mean, you have to understand I keep trying to do the shoe on the other foot type of thing. Like if we were in the slight minority, how would I feel? Stand your ground. Don't give in. So I don't really know that the Democrats that are standing their ground, like on principle, I don't really know that I disagree with them, but their principles suck.
Well, the other principle, what they want sucks, and they're just not able to do it because Donald Trump is playing a masterclass game of chess here.
Yeah, here's his vice
president. Step back for a second, because I think it's important for the American people to realize that the far left faction of Senate Democrats shut down the government because we wouldn't give them hundreds of billions of dollars for health care benefits for illegal aliens. It's actually not even all Senate Democrats. I was really gratified to see that a few of the moderate Senate Democrats voted with Senate Republicans last night to keep the government open. This is basically Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer, he's worried he's going to get a primary challenge from AOC. And so he's shutting down the people's government to give in to sort of the left-wing coalition and their party. And it's craziness, and people are going to suffer because of it. I mean, people who benefit from low-income food programs are going to suffer because of this. If you're flying today, I hope, of course, you arrive safely and on time, but you may not arrive on time because the TSA and the air traffic controllers are not getting paid today. Mm-hmm. Our military is not getting paid today, starting today. And obviously, the longer this drags on, the worse that it is for the American people.
So the vice president talking there about what this does mean in the immediate moment. Now, he said that the Democrats are wanting they want health care for illegals. And then I've seen a lot of people come on and say, no, that's not actually accurate. That's not what they actually are looking for. The GOP tweeted today on the GOP Twitter account. They said, here it is. Democrats are liars. Let me put this down here. And they've got the actual text of what it is that is in what the Democrats proposed. The first part is a screenshot of Subtitle E, Other Health Provisions, Repeal of Health Subtitle Changes. And then it goes on, and this is like super nerdy, in the weeds medical stuff, but Section 71109, Alien Medicaid Eligibility. That's part of what the Democrats are proposing here. And then it goes on to explain, and I'm not going to read the whole thing because I would fall asleep reading it, but it's under Alien Medicaid Eligibility, Medicaid Section 1903 of the Social Security Act is amended in paragraph by striking and inserting blah, 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 by adding at the end of the following new paragraph, notwithstanding the preceding paragraphs of this subsection, beginning on October 1st, 2026, except as provided in paragraphs 2 and 4, in no event shall payment be made to a state under this section for medical assistance furnished to an individual unless such individual is. And then it goes on to explain who is going to qualify for health care. An alien lawfully admitted for permanent residence, a citizen or a national of the United States, an alien who has been granted the status of Cuban or Haitian entrant, an individual who lawfully resides in the United States in accordance with the Compact of Free Association. And it goes on to list all of the different things that they're trying to add. They're trying to expand the amount of monies out of your paycheck that are going to go into the government and be used for health care for people who are here. Just as we've seen over and over and over again from the right trying to prove their point. And it's really important to listen to what we've heard other yesterday. We had Congressman Boston, but talking about what the ask is right now from the Democrats, they want 4 weeks. What is it? 4 weeks from the Democrats to the Republicans, 7 weeks CR. And they want to add $1.6 trillion of spending. Jeez.
Yeah, I knew it was over a trillion.
I mean, it's absurd. It's like on the surface, we can be like, who's the stupider party, Republicans or Democrats? Vote in the poll. That's not the poll today. Might be tomorrow. But you can ask that question. But when you really dig into it, going back to what I was saying, if the Democrats were standing on principle, if what was at stake here, if the roles were reversed and the Democrats had proposed in the CR that they wanted that they were going to fully double fund Planned Parenthood, and Republicans are like, no, we're not voting for that. Shut the government down. I would say good on you for doing that. But I don't understand what the Democrats are proposing to the American people that they, on the whole, have voted resoundingly against the funding of people who are here, not legally, people who are not here as citizens. We have to stand for something. And if the Republicans cave in this point, and I just don't even see it, I don't even see a hairline fracture in what the Republicans are presenting themselves at right now. It's actually kind of, they're kind of a laughing mockery of the Democrats and the Schumer shutdown. They've turned this entire thing into a political hellfire against Chuck Schumer, and they've propped up AOC in the process because they say AOC is going to challenge Chuck Schumer's Senate seat the next time he's up.
I'll tell you, the message they tried really hard to get across, and they've been doing this for about 3 weeks now, is if the Republicans shut down the government, of course it's the Republicans doing it, then your health care costs across the country are going to go up. Now, they were keeping it very broad on purpose because they didn't want you to really think about it, and people were like, oh, man, what does that mean? They were talking specifically about Obamacare subsidies for people who don't have the ability to buy health insurance. Mm-hmm. They were just talking about those subsidies. And so they've that's the only message that they've tried to get across, is that we want to save your health care, which is not true, but they do want to add to Obamacare. So that's the one thing. That's the only message I can find in anything they're pitching.
In 2008, when Barack Obama was running for the presidency, and in 2010, when the Affordable Care Act passed in Obama's first term, we spent probably 3 years leading up to 2010, maybe 4 years, where healthcare was like the leading problem that needed to be solved. Which is really kind of saying something, because that was the same decade as September 11th. We had the war on terror. We had a great fracture in the American public, you know, completely unified on September 12th, and then war and division, which is a natural thing that's going to happen. But when President Obama came on the scene and he started shifting talk away. I mean, think about the positivity that he brought in his messaging away from a war-torn Republican Party. I mean, he was the president for like a minute when September happened. Like September 11th happened. I think sometimes I forget that he was inaugurated on January 21st. September 11th happened that September.
Yeah.
That's
8 months.
That's wild. Imagine Donald Trump as an outsider coming in, having something of that magnitude happening and having to handle it. So whatever George W. Bush thought his presidency was going to be, scratch that. Mm-hmm. It became September 11th and on. When Barack Obama comes on the scene, he starts talking about hope and change. Boy, that sounds really good after you've been dealing with war for a long time. And healthcare being the main issue that was talked about, which led us to the Affordable Care Act, which was essentially a tax on all of the American people, just ask the Supreme Court. That's the only way it became constitutional. All we complain about is healthcare. Now, like from a bipartisan standpoint, it's one of the most bipartisanly frustrating topics that exist in political conversation. Nobody likes the healthcare system. Nobody likes what the insurance companies have done to the system. And guess what the Affordable Care Act did? It forced you to have to get insurance. So instead of forcing insurance companies to go to Americans and say, we'd love to compete for your business, they didn't have to compete for the business because Barack Obama said, no, you have to pay them, or we're going to fine you. We're going to tax you. So you took the competitive nature out of what insurance companies have to do. And now the American people, we're not something that needs to be earned. We're something that's just delivered. So here we are in 2025, talking about health insurance once again, talking about the needs of the American people. And the Democrats' issue is health care for people who are not here legally. It's like, oh, you almost had it. You were so close. We're going to take a quick break here. Governor Mike Kehoe, governor of the state of Missouri, is going to join us when we return. And we are going to discuss with him a few key important issues. But of course, what has been done in the state of Missouri to protect Missourians, a benchmark for the rest of the country, for sure. Governor Mike Kehoe next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Sarah, we're for freedom. If you want to drink a Coke, you ought to be able to do it. But the American taxpayer should not be paying for it. Diabetes, when I was a kid, the average pediatrician would see one case of diabetes during an entire 40 or 50 year career. Today, 38% of teens are pre-diabetic or diabetic. And so more than one out of every three kids who walks through his office door is now a pre-diabetic or diabetic. And this is the biggest cause. And, you know, and one of the reasons for that is because we're poisoning kids with food stamp program. I think it's 18% of the food stamp program when it goes to candies or sodas. 10% go to sugar sodas. And so we're poisoning the poorest Americans, giving them diabetes, and then we're paying for it with Medicaid in the long run.
Well, there you have RFK Jr. talking about the SNAP program and the problems that exist with how it is set up right now. And we are very excited to welcome Governor Mike Kehoe onto the Annie Fry Show. Governor, thank you for the time today. It's good to have you back.
Annie, I'm great to be on with you. Are you considering my offer at the end of last show to move you over to Missouri?
I was thinking about it last night, actually. You guys just continue to do the right, smart things.
My realtor friends in St. Louis got really excited. My dealer friends up there are all wanting to give you trucks. So I'm just saying, if it ever comes to fruition, we're ready to go. Thank you for having Secretary Kennedy's soundbite on. It's a very accurate soundbite.
Yeah, you're going to be one of my first phone calls if that move ends up having to be made. I would be happy to let the governor know.
I'm here for you.
I want to talk about you following the administration's lead and listening to the words there of Bobby Kennedy about our SNAP program, the health program. Missouri is doing something about us. Tell us about your adjustment, refocusing of the SNAP program in the state of Missouri.
Sure. We've asked for a waiver that would allow the SNAP program obviously to continue, but would not be eligible to use for non-essential kind of sugary items. Many other states have asked for the same waiver. And by the way, it's nonpartisan. Democrat and Republican states have had. And it's like Secretary Kennedy said, if you want to go buy a sugary drink or a candy bar or whatever, you know, that's great. You should be able to do that. But you shouldn't have taxpayer dollars paying for those things. And so his point is right, because if you do develop diabetes or you do develop unhealthy conditions and you're in a family that needs assistance from the government, we're going to pay for the health care through Medicaid again. So it makes sense. It's friends and neighbors out. That's what the SNAP program is for. This opens up opportunities additionally for farmers markets and other things that folks can use their SNAP cards for. Mm-hmm. We think helping Missouri's farmers. So we're very excited to kind of say, let's keep people healthy and let's make sure taxpayers aren't footing the bill for things that could cause other health problems down the road.
You're listening to Governor Mike Kehoe on the adjustments, the refocusing of the SNAP program here in the state of Missouri. A couple questions specifically on like the funding of the program. Does the funding change at all? Is there any less money going into the program with these adjustments or any more money going in? Because sometimes healthy food costs more.
It could cost more, but I would tell you there's, and this is an existing program we have out there, we have a dollar-for-dollar credit on farmer's market use. So if you're using your SNAP card at a farmer's market and you spend a dollar, you can get a dollar to spend in another store. And there's some parameters around that program, but I'd encourage folks to look into how that works and try to exercise that. So, by the way, there's some healthy food that could cost more, but there's a lot of healthy food that doesn't cost more than a candy bar or something with sugar in it. So we think that's it's a common sense move, and it's a move that Missourians would agree with going forward on.
I think it's a smart move, and just in general, it is so difficult, Governor. I've got four kids myself. I'm trying to feed them healthy foods. You find yourself investing in foods that you think are health foods, and then you realize, nope, that's not what we're supposed to be feeding them to begin with. There's so many chemicals and processed natures to all the foods that we're giving our kids and have been eating ourselves as a millennial myself. I've been raised on processed foods, basically. What else can Missouri do? You're talking about farmers. You know, I'm hearing a lot of talk in the last 48 hours about farm to table. What kind of strength does Missouri have in this lane to prop up our farmers and also provide at the same time healthy, truly healthy food for the people who consume them?
Well, all across Missouri, including on the east side there in your region, we have incredible farmers markets that folks can take advantage of. And, you know, a lot of these are small family farms that might not be the thousands of acres, might just be an acre or two. They're growing different fruits and vegetables, different products that they can offer. A lot of farmers markets offer healthy grains as well as breads and different things like that. So you can take advantage of that and help Missourians out, help farmers out as well, and keep your family healthy. And I think that's a win-win for Missourians as we do that.
Certainly is. I want to shift topics here. We're speaking with Governor Mike Kehoe, the governor of the state of Missouri, of course, about Missouri, the relationship with the National Guard and ICE. Of course, we're seeing things taking place in Portland, obviously Chicago. We've seen ICE movement throughout the course of the country. What is happening here in the state of Missouri, and what kind of cooperation are you having with the federal law enforcement agencies to make sure that Missourians are safe?
Sure. Well, there's two, as you know, public safety was our number one issue we had in the session this year. A lot of great folks in the St. Louis area, Nick Shore, Brad Crist, in the Senate and House passed one of the most sweeping public safety bills the state of Missouri has ever seen. So public safety is a huge issue to us. But there's two issues that people are kind of running together. One is our involvement with our National Guard to help ICE on some of their clerical, technical issues, not necessarily going out on the street with ICE agents, but just providing some back-end support so more agents can actually be on the street. And then the other issue that you've seen some National Guard use for, President Trump has really done a good job with Washington, D.C. I was physically there Monday night and Tuesday, just yesterday, and I can tell you that the Uber drivers, the folks up and down the street, they're saying left and right, we have never seen this kind of activity walking around. It's Washington, D.C. is alive again. Mm. He's done a great job of making sure people are secure. And so the president's very, very, very focused on, and I would agree with, making sure our cities are safe so that people can go out. Nobody likes taxes, but everybody would agree one of the core uses of taxes is to keep you safe in your neighborhood. So there have been some cities, you've seen them mention Memphis, where they're going to do some National Guard work there for community safety. And keeping our community safe, I think, is the number one priority we should have for our families across the nation, including here in Missouri.
Yeah, well, certainly here where 97.1 reaches, at least with our terrestrial signal, of course, Odyssey, the Odyssey app can have 97.1 streamed anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world. But we've heard President Trump from the Oval Office when discussing making cities safe again. St. Louis keeps coming up, Governor. And every time I hear that, I think, gosh, what is that going to mean? You would have a role in partnering with the federal government, if something were going to happen here in St. Louis, is there a need? Do you see one?
Well, I will tell you that St. Louis has come up. There's been no official conversations. I'm thankful that the president understands how important it is to keep our city safe. But as you know, we've done some things on our own before the federal government had to get involved. And I think that's what states' rights should do. We want to take the lead on this and support what President Trump wants to do and keep our community safe. I just mentioned the crime bill we passed in record time this year. A lot of tools in there for law enforcement, including the city of St. Louis. You've had a change in your prosecutor with Gabe Gore, who's made a huge difference. And then, of course, as you know, part of that crime bill had St. Louis citizens that were appointed by our office, by myself, to be on the police board to support Chief Tracy and the men and women in blue who have been doing this for years but have been under kind of a political thumb with the previous administration, I will say. And this gives us a new chance to really prove what St. Louis can do. And we're making great strides in that. We're going to continue to make great strides. And last but not least, one of the first things I did when I got sworn in as governor, I signed an order for our Operation Relentless Pursuit. We call it ORP. Everything's got an alphabet in government. But it combines combines U.S. Marshals, Highway Patrol, local police. In your case, it could be St. Louis City, St. Louis County, et cetera, to go in and issue outstanding warrants of the worst of worst offenders across our state. We've cleared over 1,400 warrants, and we're about to hit 1,000 arrests in that. So we've done a lot of things that the president has had the guard to do in Washington, D.C. We've already started to do here in Missouri and specifically in St. Louis, and we want to continue to make sure we carry our own weight and get after it the best way we can and keep our community safe.
I want to ask one last question before we let you go here. We're speaking with the governor of the state of Missouri, Governor Mike Kehoe. I know that there's been an FBI partnership to try to go into the city of St. Louis and make it safer. I've noticed specifically on Tucker, on my way in from the Stan Musial Bridge, there's a beautiful new police station precinct or whatever it might be on the corner there. But I also understand when I drive into St. Louis, somebody who comes here every day, I drive past a pretty large tent city homeless encampment. There are people who are on that street, and I don't drive all the way to Market. I don't even get all the way downtown. There are people who are obviously very high intoxicated on something. And right next to the Board of Elections, this just kind of bothers me significantly every day I drive past it. It's the Board of Elections building right there at the end of Tucker and Olive. The entire parking garage attached to it is covered in an enormous amount of graffiti insulting to police officers. And I'm just wondering who's responsible for anybody who's driving into the city when they see this. Is this like the presentation that St. Louis wants to have? Is there a way to clean it up? And whose responsibility ultimately is it to see to it that we present ourselves in a safer, better way than this?
Well, let me unpack a few things there. First of all, with the FBI's involvement, we're super happy Kash Patel has made a statement. He's going to get FBI officers out of the D.C. offices and out into the community, St. Louis being one of them. A huge credit to Senator Eric Schmidt, who really worked with Director Patel and made sure that St. Louis had additional resources deployed there. Of course, now we have our very own Andrew Bailey, who was the Attorney General for so many years and did a great job, is number two at the FBI. We think for Missouri that really plays a vital role. So we're happy to have extra resources in law enforcement with the FBI. We welcome them, and we will be deploying them with our local law enforcement community. As far as the kind of the tent city and the graffiti, those are things that we've got to work with together with Chief Tracy, with Mayor Spencer, and try to make sure that you're right. You don't want that to be the opening, you know, salvo what somebody sees when they come into the city. In Mayor Spencer's defense, 32 days in the office, EF3 Tornado comes through and takes out much of North St. Louis, including close to areas where I grew up. So they've got their hands full, but I know she's trying to get her arms around what they need to do to tackle that. I know crime has been the number one issue for the chief and his command staff. As I mentioned, they've done a great job. They're going to continue to do that. But I'd like to think that, and we'll help all we can when we're asked, because we're not going to just come and force ourselves into any situation there, to make sure we get the priorities becomes where we can get some of those areas cleaned up. And it's as me as a St. Louisan, born and raised, I know exactly where that corner is. I agree with you. We need to get that cleaned up, and I'm hopeful we can get that done.
Well, I appreciate that response. It's just something I think about, and I know how beautiful this city is and how great of a city it is. And I just want it to shine and welcome people into it to shop, to work, to visit, whatever it might be. Governor Kehoe, we appreciate you and your time. Thank you for being with us here today.
Appreciate you having me on. Don't forget my offer. Thank you so much and have a great day.
You bet. I will not forget it. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yep.
Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to listen to J.D. Vance. He's at the podium at the White House press briefing, and he's talking about the government shutdown. We'll hear from J.D. Vance when we return. Don't go away.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I put a spell on you. And now you're mine. You can't stop the things I do.
This has nothing to do with JD.
I ain't lying.
You a Hocus Pocus fan?
No.
Are you opposed to Hocus Pocus?
I've never seen it. And,
really?
And yes, I'm opposed to it.
I think that if you watched Hocus Pocus, you would appreciate the 90s-ness of it.
Oh, I'm sure I would now. Yeah, there's music like that that I didn't like at the time that now I'm like, oh, okay. It's a period piece.
That's your idol, Bette Midler.
Oh, no. I think you are mistaken.
Sarah Jessica Parker?
You have me.
The one with the boobs?
Oh, in that movie, does she?
Have boobs?
I mean, they all do, but...
Oh, do they?
But hers are more prominent.
Huh.
It's weird how Brad just took over that conversation there.
Interesting about that. Maybe I will give that movie a watch.
J.D. Vance, the press briefing at the White House, talking about anything other than this, probably a government shutdown. Let's listen.
Well, thank you, Caroline, and good afternoon to everybody, and good afternoon to everybody who's watching at home. It's a tough act to follow, but let me just say a few things, and then I'll take a few questions. Number one, Democrats say that they care a lot about lowering health care costs, and yet, when the president took historic action to work with the drug companies to lower prescription drug prices, the Democrats did nothing to help us. In fact, we would have loved to have the Democrats helping us, but they didn't. They talk about doing something. They don't actually do the hard work of making it happen. What they have done instead is to shut down the government because we won't give billions of dollars to health care funding for illegal aliens. That is what has actually happened. To the American people who are watching, the reason your government is shut down at this very minute is because, despite the fact that the overwhelming majority of congressional Republicans and even a few moderate Democrats supported opening the government, the Chuck Schumer AOC wing of the Democratic Party shut down the government because they said to us, we will open the government, but only if you give billions of dollars of funding for health care for illegal aliens. That's a ridiculous proposition. Let me say two other quick things, and then again, I'll take some questions. Number one, we all understand that Democrats and Republicans have policy disagreements. The Democrats want to do things. Look, when Chuck Schumer and Akeem Jeffries were in here a couple of days ago, they made some suggestions that the president was more than happy to say, yes, let's sit down and talk about how we can solve the health care crisis that we inherited from the Biden administration. But it's one thing to say that we should solve the health care crisis for Americans. It's another thing to say that we're going to shut down the government unless we give the Democrats every single thing that they want, which, as Caroline says, office includes giving billions of dollars of taxpayer funding for health care for illegal migrants. That's ridiculous. You don't have policy disagreements that serve as the basis for a government shutdown. Let's have the conversation about how to fix American health care, about how to make health care more accessible. As the president showed, he's more than willing to act on behalf of the American people for this very reason. What you don't do is say, unless you do exactly what we want to do as congressional Democrats, we're taking a hostage. And the hostage, it turns out, is critical, essential services that the American people need. Caroline talked about some of it. Let me talk about some more. Our troops are not getting paid starting today because of the Chuck Schumer wing of the Democratic Party. We have people who require food assistance, low-income Americans who require food assistance, who will not get it unless we reopen the government, thanks to Chuck Schumer and his wing of the Democratic Party. We have flood insurance as we start hurricane season in the southeastern part of our country. That flood insurance is going to disappear because of Chuck Schumer and the far left of the Democratic Party. We need to reopen the government. Let's fix America's problems. Let's work together to solve them. But let's reopen the government before we have our negotiation about health care policy. That's what the American people demand, and that's certainly what the President of the United States wants. Let me make one final point. I think a lot of Americans are asking themselves, why did this happen? Why did the Democrats shut down the government despite, as Caroline said, voting on the exact same piece of legislation 6 months ago? And there are a lot of different spins that we can put on it, a lot of different answers that we could give, all of them true. One answer I already gave is that they want to give health care benefits to illegal aliens. That is true. They gave us legislative text that would have undone us cutting off health care benefits for illegal aliens. That's one of the things that they asked for. But the reality here, and let's be honest about the politics, is that Chuck Schumer is terrified she's going to get a primary challenge from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. The reason why the American people's government is shut down is because Chuck Schumer is listening to the far left radicals in his own party because he's terrified of a primary challenge. So I'd invite Chuck Schumer to join the moderate Democrats and 52 Senate Republicans, do the right thing, open up the people's government, and then let's fix health care policy for the American people. Questions?
Mr. Vice President.
That's a lot. Matt Boyle.
Okay. Mr. Vice President, there's two key Democrat lies I would like to get your take on and see if you can address. The first is that you're seeing a number of top Democrat leaders, from Kamala Harris to Chuck Schumer to Hakeem Jeffries, claim that it is a Republican shutdown caused by Trump. The second is that they're out there now claiming that they don't want to give health care to illegal aliens. Can you address both of those lies from the Democrat Party?
Yeah, so on the point that it's a Republican shutdown, look, it's obviously a Democratic shutdown. Just look at the vote totals in the House, look at the vote totals in the Senate, and look at the President of the United States' own action and conduct throughout this crisis. Nearly every single House Republican voted to open the government, Matt. Nearly every single Senate Republican voted to open the government last night. And even to their credit, a few moderate Democrats voted to open the government. That's not a Republican shutdown when nearly every single Senate Democrat votes to shut it down and every Republican voted to open it up. It's just obviously not true. Now, you can disagree about a number of things, but you can't disagree about the obvious fact that Republicans voted to open the government. The president stands ready to sign that opening of the government. We just need a few more Democrats to join us in that effort to open the government. Your final question about illegal alien benefits. Look, the text is very clear. And I think it was George Stephanopoulos in an interview with Mike Johnson did a fact check that was totally rooted in baseless claims. It was basically Democrat propaganda. If you look at the legislative text that they gave us, they tried to turn on two separate provisions that would give health care benefits to illegal aliens. Number one, if you're an American citizen, you've been to a hospital in the last few years, you probably noticed that wait times are especially large, and very often somebody who's there in the emergency room waiting is an illegal alien, very often a person who can't even speak English. Why do those people get healthcare benefits at hospitals paid for by American citizens? The answer is a decision made by the Biden administration that the Trump administration, working with congressional Republicans, undid. We turned off that money spigot to healthcare funding for illegal aliens. The Democrats, in their legislative text, want to turn it back on. That's one thing. The second thing, Matt, is we all know that there are various ways in which the Biden administration waived away illegal immigration status. They gave parolees, they gave asylum claims to people who weren't really claiming asylum. And when they waved the magic wand of amnesty, giving millions of people legal status, even though they were in the country illegally, they also gave those people access to health care benefits. So what the Democrats are engaging in is a sleight of hand. They're saying, no. Those weren't illegal aliens who were getting health care benefits, even though everybody, knows they were in the country illegally. It's a lie told by the Democrats that they're not trying to give health care benefits to illegal aliens. It's a lie that is obviously untrue if you just look at the text that they gave us. And all you have to do is understand that this is about who benefits. We think the American people's government ought to benefit American citizens. The Democrats are willing to shut it down to benefit illegal aliens. The contrast couldn't be more clear. Peter.
Thank you, Vice President Vance. The big holdup is, of course, that you guys say illegal immigrants are getting taxpayer-funded health care. Democrats say you're lying. That makes it feel like it could be a really long shutdown. Is this going to be a long shutdown?
You know, I don't know. I can't predict what congressional Democrats are going to do, Peter, but I actually don't think it's going to be that long of a shutdown. This is a pure guess from the Vice President of the United States, because I think you already saw some evidence that moderate Democrats are cracking a little bit. They understand the fundamental illogic of this. Look, for years, every single one of us, we can remember Barack Obama on the White House lawn. We can remember Chuck Schumer. We can remember, you know, Nancy Pelosi. For years, in Chuck Schumer's case, for literally decades, we've heard them say, you don't shut the government down over a policy disagreement. Okay, Republicans think this thing about healthcare, that thing about healthcare. Democrats think this thing about immigration. Republicans disagree. Whatever those disagreements are, you don't shut down the government over it. For the first time since the Democrats have been in politics, they're now saying that unless we get every policy item that we demand, we're going to shut down the people's government. They're trying to take a hostage, and we're not going to let them.
And the administration announced today that $18 billion bound for New York transportation projects is going to be frozen, so it can't go to DEI programs there. But the timing of this, does announcing that today mean that you guys are going to squeeze Chuck Schumer's home state until he blinks?
Look, I haven't talked to Russ about this morning, but look, I'm sure that Russ is heartbroken about the fact that he is unable to give certain things to certain constituencies. We want to do everything that we can to help the American people. But when the Democrats shut down the government, we have to actually do a little triage to make sure the most critical and most essential services are provided. The government does a lot of things. Of course, Republicans think that the federal government probably does too much. But there are a lot of critical things the federal government does that absolutely all of us would agree need to do. Our troops need to get paid. Our air traffic controllers need to make sure that people are flying safely and on time. We need low-income people to be able to access the food services that are provided by the federal government. There are critical things that need to be saved. We're going to do everything that we can over the coming weeks, if the shutdown lasts that long, to ensure that people get the essential services that they need, despite the fact that Chuck Schumer has shut down the federal government. It's not going to be perfect because we are in a government shutdown. We are going to have to lay some people off if the shutdown continues. We don't like that. We don't necessarily want to do it, but we're going to do what we have to keep the American people's essential services continuing to run. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President, and thank you for being here. Yesterday, President Trump said, as a result of the shutdown, we'll be laying off a lot of people that are going to be very affected, and the Democrats, they are going to be Democrats. Has the administration asked agencies to target federal workers who they believe to be Democrats in these reductions of forces?
We're not targeting federal agencies based on politics. We're targeting the people's government so that as much as possible of the essential services can continue to function. That is the question the president has asked the entire government, is fundamentally, okay, we're in a shutdown. That causes some problems. The troops aren't getting paid. There's nothing that we can do about that while the government is shut down. But there are essential services that we want to make sure as much as possible they still continue to function. That is the principle that's driving us forward during this shutdown. It's going to continue to be the principle that drives us forward. But let's be honest. If this thing drags on for another few days or, God forbid, another few weeks, we are going to have to lay people off. We're going to have to save money in some places so the essential services don't get turned off in other places. That is the reality of the government shutdown that Chuck Schumer and the Democrats have foisted upon the administration.
So what did Phil? He mean by they're going to be Democrats? He said they're going to be Democrats.
You've laid out a lot of the pain and problems that would come with a Democratic shutdown, and yet in the Oval Office yesterday, the president said that a lot of good could come from a shutdown. So square that circle. Which is it, a Democratic-caused crisis or a Republican opportunity for reform?
Well, I think all the president is saying, Phil, is that he wants to make sure the American people's government functions as well as it can, despite the fact that we're in a shutdown. We're going to have to make things work. And that means that we're going to have to triage some certain things. That means certain people are going to have to get laid off. And we're going to try to make sure that the American people suffer as little as possible from this shutdown. That's what the president is saying, is that, yes, this is a bad thing. Obviously, the president is trying to reopen the government. But we're going to make things work as well as we possibly can, given the constraints that we have.
And then on those policy differences for the discussion and the negotiations to come later, during the Biden administration, Democrats twice voted to expand these Affordable Care Act tax credits, but those were supposed to be temporary and they were slated to expire at the end of the year. As you sort of crack the door open to negotiation at a later date, would the party that ran on defunding Obamacare really negotiate about potentially expanding Obamacare?
Well, Phil, what we've said to the Democrats is that we're willing to have a conversation about how to ensure that Americans continue to have access to health care. And frankly, they should have access to better health care at a lower cost. We inherited a mess of a health care system from the Biden administration. It's why the president has worked so hard on the most favored nation status for prescription drugs. It's why we care so much about lowering the cost of prescriptions and why we're doing everything else. We're willing to have that conversation. But I think it's important to bracket the health care policy conversation because it's separate from the government shutdown. We think that we can open the government and then have the conversation about what best healthcare policy to fit the needs of the American people. That's all we're trying to do. That's all we're trying to accomplish. We've got to reopen the government first. Now, Caroline, I don't know how you do this, how you actually choose people, because I don't know 90% of the names in here. Is it just who's the best dressed? Okay, I really like your shirt. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. You are president of the Senate. Can you talk about what you're doing, what the administration is doing to try to get other Senate Democrats to vote to open the government?
Yeah, we're talking to a number of our colleagues, Democratic and Republican, in the Senate. I talked to a number of them last night. The president, of course, is talking to them as well. I think there really are two categories of demands that I've seen privately from congressional Democrats. I think on the one hand, those who are negotiating in good faith are saying, look, we just want to make sure that we're able to have a conversation with the administration about some of the critical needs that we see that need to get fixed over the next few months. We recognize it's kind of absurd, and a lot of them will admit in private that it's kind of absurd to shut down the people's government over these disagreements, but just agree to negotiate with us in good faith on these issues. And of course, we're having that conversation with them. Then there's another category, people who say, give us everything we want or we're going to keep the government shut down. We just write those people off because they're not negotiating in good faith. And frankly, we don't need them. We've already got three more Democrats last night than I thought we would get. And I think it's because they recognize the illogic of the position of taking the entire American economy hostage because they don't get their policy priorities. So three moderate Democrats joined 52 Republicans last night. We need five more in order to reopen the government. And that's really where we're going to focus, is how to get those five additional Democrats.
Thanks, Mr. Vice President. First, two questions. Are there plans to meet Democratic leaders again in the coming days, or are you planning on plucking off senators one by one?
So that's the whole question?
No, I got a second part.
Okay, go ahead and ask the second question.
So the president's been posting some images of Leader Jeffries and Senator Schumer.
I saw.
Recently. You've said that you're interested in good faith negotiations with these leaders, but you know, what message does that send? Is it helpful to post pictures of Leader Jeffries in a sombrero if you're trying to have good faith talks with him?
Oh, I think it's funny. The president's joking, and we're having a good time. You can negotiate in good faith while also poking a little bit of fun at some of the absurdities of the Democrats' positions, and even, you know, poking some fun at the absurdity of the Democrats themselves. I mean, I'll tell Hakeem Jeffries right now, I make this solemn promise to you that if you help us reopen the government, the sombrero memes will stop. And I've talked to the President of the United States about that. Now, to your first question, are we negotiating one-on-one? Are we negotiating in groups? Look, I will go to the U.S. Capitol right now and meet with Chuck Schumer or any Senate Democrat if it helps us reopen the government. Most of the conversations, in my experience at least, have been one-off. We're also, of course, relying on some of our Senate Republican colleagues who have good relationships across the aisle. We're going to do whatever we have to do is the answer. And I think it's tough to predict what shape this negotiation is going to take over the next few months. But I feel good about the fact that Democrats already realize privately the fundamental irrationality of their position. I hope that they're going to publicly acknowledge it and reopen the government. Right in the back, yeah.
Thank you, Mr.
Vice President, you responded to a post on X of Chuck Schumer on the House floor back in 1996, railing against illegal immigrants receiving taxpayer-funded benefits. You said Chuck Schumer once recognized that it was disastrous to give illegal aliens rewards for breaking the law. Now he wants to shut down the government unless we reward illegal aliens for breaking the law. Why has Chuck Schumer changed his stance?
You know, that's a good question. It's a very tough question. Asking me to get in the head of Chuck Schumer is not a place I particularly want to be, but my basic read on it is that the entire Democratic Party, the political leadership, not every Democrat nationwide, but the political leadership of their party has got it into their heads that the only way to be compassionate is to be compassionate to illegal aliens rather than American citizens. If you go back to what Bill Clinton was saying, even Barack Obama in some cases, what he was saying about illegal immigration 10, 15, 20 years ago, you would put them on the MAGA right based purely on their rhetoric around illegal immigration. So I don't know why they've gone so far to the left. I think it's bad for the country. I think it's bad for them politically. But our principle, all I can do is speak for the president that I serve and the country, the administration that I serve right now. We believe that the American people's government exists for the American people. That means the people who have the legal right to be here, and that's why we're fighting to reopen the government. And unfortunately, the Democrats are fighting to shut it down for the benefit of illegal aliens. And I'll take a couple more, and then I'll let Caroline. I'll go back to my day job, so Caroline can go back to hers. All right. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Just going back to the sombrero. You said that the president is joking, but Hakeem Jeffries says that these memes were racist. What's your response to that? And just if I may briefly go off topic, Secretary Hegseth yesterday made an edict about no more beardos in the military. Just wondered what.
What did he say?
No more beardos.
Beards.
Sorry, it's my accent. Just wondered your response to that.
I didn't see that particular comment. I thought Pete gave a hell of a speech, and a speech that really is just oriented around returning the American military to the very high standards that it has had for virtually its entire history until Joe Biden came along and decided to lower standards. I think it was bad for our military, and it was bad for our troops. When I was a young United States Marine, I did not have a beard. I am now the vice president, so I get to do what I want to do. But I think Pete's trying to reimplement high standards, and that's a very good thing. On the sombrero thing, I mean, Hakeem Jeffries said it was racist, and I know that he said that, and I honestly don't even know what that means. Like, is he a Mexican-American that is offended by having a sombrero meme? I mean, I saw one of the major TV stations put the meme up and then say, this is AI generated. And he had like the curly animated mustache too. It's like, the American people recognize that he did not actually come to the White House wearing a sombrero and a black curly animation mustache? Like, give the country a little bit of credit. We're all trying to do a very important job for the American people. The President of the United States likes to have a little bit of fun when he's doing it, and I think that's okay. I'll take one more question.
Mr. Vice President, in every previous shutdown, workers have been furloughed, not laid off. So why does the president want to fire some workers and not just furlough them? Why is this shutdown any different?
Well, first of all, we haven't made any final decisions about what we're going to do with certain workers. What we're saying is that we might have to take extraordinary steps, especially the longer this goes on. We're going to have to take extraordinary measures to ensure the people's government operates, again, not perfectly, because it's not going to operate perfectly in the midst of a shutdown, but operate as well as it possibly can. And I think that the Democrats, if they're so worried about the effect this is having on the American people, and they should be, what they should do is reopen the government, not complain about how we respond to the fact that Chuck Schumer and the Democrats have shut down the government in the first place. Thank you, Caroline.
J.D. Vance, the Vice President of the United States, I'd be remiss if I didn't just go ahead and throw this up here for our entertainment right now. In context, there's nothing about this I can't play on the radio, right?
Bigotry will get you nowhere. We are fighting to protect the health care of the American people in the face of an unprecedented Republican assault.
That's from @RealDonaldTrump.
We're so mad.
I'm reporting the news. I'm reporting the news. Did you say 5850?
5850.
Is that a racist meme? This goes in perfectly to the YouTube poll for today.
Yeah, it does. Just because something is racial.
Just because something isn't. No, just because it's
national,
not white.
Or not white, sure. It doesn't mean it's racist. It's like, I mean, I just went to Disney World. You know, you go through some of those rides in Epcot. There's a lot of nationality. There's a lot of race things.
It's called the World
it's
Showcase.
It's not racist. It's different countries. Like, there are backgrounds all over the world. And so, I don't know. Hey, whatever. Like,
are you mad about it? Did you think about it? And oh, go, like, I can't believe that this is... Because there are people going, I can't believe that this is my president of the United States.
No, I'm not mad about it. Not about that.
Did it make you laugh?
Yeah. Especially that one. Because there were two of them. That one was the funnier
and
one.
And J.D. Vance going, saying... The news had to tell us that this was AI generated. Somehow or another, he got Hakeem Jeffries gets his sombrero out and grows a mustache in 0.2 seconds. My goodness. Deroy Murdoch and Senator Eric Schmidt in the next hour. Stay right here.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.